You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, this is Jason Aaron, writer of Thor and Star Wars, and you're listening to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best men.
With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is Mike, Eric, and Kylan, or Mike, Kylan, and Eric, however you want, or Kylan, Eric, and Mike, however you want.
However you say it, you just got to do the voice right, Sky.
With Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
Wait.
I love that. I can't do that.
You're not the dude from the announcement, are you? Because I've never seen the two in the same room at the same time.
You know, I'm not saying I'm not. I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying you'll never see the two of us together.
Okay.
It's kind of like it's kind of like Chris Pratt. I'm not saying I am Chris Pratt, but you don't see us at the same place at the same time.
Well, I think he's busy over at Jurassic Parks and Rec at the moment. So,
do you think Jarvis knows?
I don't know. I don't know. We gotta ask him, Jarvis.
You are not authorized to access this area.
See, it's times like this where Jarvis really is just kind of a bit of a jerk. Well, it's kind of like,
I know something I won't tell. Nah, 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 nah.
Well, if we really want to have fun, we could see just where Jarvis does lie. Because we could talk about the fantastic...
Oh, you have just taken it to the next level.
What? Talking about the fantastic...
Did that just happen? Yeah. Can we, I would say, Jarvis, tell us how you really feel, but I think we already know.
Anyhow, speaking of how we feel, I like the transition. Thanks. Or the segue. Yeah.
How do we feel? A film by Bell Labs.
Debuting at the Bell Labs Pavilion at the Stark Expo. if I did that, I should have done it this way. Debuting at the Bell Labs Pavilion at the Stark Expo.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Oh, I'm sorry, wrong expo.
Oh, it's my favorite.
So we got an email from Jason. I'm not going to share his email address because no need to. Because if people disagree, he doesn't need to be spammed. So from Jason, I'm trying to see if he left a last name, which he did not. But this was sent from his iPhone, which I'm impressed. Hey guys, first off, love the podcast. I look forward to listening every week. I think you guys are knowledgeable and entertaining as hell. Oh,
awesome.
We're doing something Thank wrong you. Then.
We got him snowed.
Anyway, my days of collecting were in the late 80s to mid-90s. I loved the X-Men, X-Force, and The Amazing Spider-Man. I collect a bunch of other Marvel titles as well, but those three were my bread and butter. I moved on to Image.
Well, bless his heart.
And still love almost every single startup series there were. I know a lot of people...
I take it back. Wildcats was pretty good.
Yeah. I know a lot of people didn't like that time period for comics, but I loved it. Stormwatch, Youngblood, Brigade, etc. You know, I kind of liked Youngblood. I enjoyed Youngblood.
Yeah.
I'm one of those few.
Okay.
Apparently, I'm right there with Jason.
Okay.
So I started collecting again. I actually went to my old comic book store, and it's still run by the same guy. Hoorah.
Yeah.
He knew who I was immediately. Great guy. Anyway, I asked him where to start, and he told me Secret Wars was starting up, and it was a great time to get in. He told me a little bit about DC as well, but I waved him off because I was never into DC before. I browsed through Image and was shocked to see that none of my favorite series existed anymore. I purchased Secret Wars 1 through 3 and picked up a whole bunch of number ones. Okay. I hate to say it, Jason, but on that one, I'm going to go sucker.
Yeah, there you go.
That, right? That's yep. that. You got catfished on that one. But, you know, it's the same thing with Convergence in DC as well. Yeah. I'll admit, with Convergence, the only two I picked up was because I had the writer and the artist over on the other show, We Be Geeks, David Gallagher and Steve Ellis. I picked up the Green Lantern Corps Convergence titles, which are amazing titles for DC out of Convergence. So all I've got to say, what confusion. Who the hell are these people and what has Marvel done? I do like the art in Secret Wars and a few of the others as well, but I'm just not impressed at all. It's making it very difficult to get back in. I mean, Thor is a girl. Listen to the Jason Aaron episode or issue. And if you've been listening to the show, Jason, then you know, listen to that issue. Yeah, we brought it, it was brought up there. I mean, I think we went into depth pretty good with it.
I thought we did as well.
I mean, come on. I read up enough to understand what the Ultimate Universe is. I'm glad you did, because I really didn't. And I'm still shaking my head wondering why this was done to begin with. It seems like Marvel has spun a web that has become so entwined with itself that the only way to get anywhere is to break it and start over. Which leads me to ask why a lot of the names of artists and writers that I know are no longer there. Many are with DC. Now, I looked through a few DC comics out there. I haven't purchased any yet, but they look amazing. But I missed a lot of the first issues of many of the series, so I'm not sure what to get. Well, as soon as Convergence is done, you'll be in the same boat as Secret Wars. So, but I missed a lot of But my whole point was that Marvel seems like that they are in panic mode. They're copying what DC has done. From what I've read on the internet, that's
that's part of the
Wow.
And I'm trying to get a broader audience. Make more number one issues with 10 million variant covers in order to cash in. On a side note, I hate variant covers. I used to collect sports cards, and it was cool when certain cards had a variant card that was serial numbered. But now every card has too many. It's not as cool as when they were really limited. I compared this to comic book variants. There are way too many. So after all that, I know this sounds awful, but I broke out my 90s Image comics and have been rereading them until I find something better. Suggestions? Please, please, please. Sorry for the lengthy email. So, Jason, internet looking there, probably you have to take that as with a grain of salt. My personal opinion. To say Marvel was copying DC, Convergence and Secret Wars almost was announced about the same time. So DC's doing it to correct the mistake that they made 6 years ago with the New 52. Point blank. Because they decided, oh, we're going to reboot, relaunch everything. And the only thing that kept same continuity was Batman. Everything else was pretty much renewed.
Yep.
I'll give him credit on the whole thing of sometimes you have to break it and start fresh. Yes, you do. Like, and this all started with Crisis on Infinite Earths, where you had all these alternate dimensions that it was getting more and more difficult to keep straight.
Right.
Right.
That you essentially had to basically crumble it all up and bring it in. Now, the same things happened with Marvel. Although they don't do it to that extent before Crisis, you still have the mainstream Marvel, the 616, and then the Ultimate Marvel, the 1610.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if your Marvel is kind of like, well, we've got some Ultimate titles that are doing good. We got some mainstream titles that are doing good. And we basically just need to bring it all together.
But I think the best analogy I've heard is it's pruning the tree. It's getting rid of some of the dead titles like Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Which obviously Jarvis didn't censor me on because we're talking about the comic, not the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But the reason why that one's being trimmed is because of the movie and what's been done. X-Men's being thinned down quite a bit. Again, same thing. You know, the movies. It was getting carried away.
Yeah.
I know for me, even though I might pick it for my picks of the week, if there's nothing else there, I'm kind of done with the Avengers. I don't like the new team for the, not the creative team, the characters that making up the Uncanny Avengers.
Okay.
I'm not too thrilled with that. The new Avengers that will be coming out of Secret Wars just doesn't have enough of my interest. Right now I'm grabbing the Disney Kingdom stuff. I'm grabbing all the Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
If I go any other book as an ongoing series, it's going to be Hawkeye at the moment.
Right.
Yeah. And just to step in for, I'm sorry to step over you.
No, Connor. No, it's cool. It's cool.
From an artistic creative standpoint, like say if you're a Jason Aaron coming in, you want to do quote unquote original stuff. You want to be able to put your own stamp on a character, on a storyline, that sort of thing.
Yes.
And really many writers, many artists, many creative people, they feel that when you have a character that's had like, let's take Thor, for instance, because of Jason Aaron. Thor has been around for decades. What really can you do original that hasn't been done with the same Thor?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's why you have to branch off. That's why you have to occasionally shake things up, prune the tree, you know, jiggle the handle. You have to do like, you have to have a Sam Wilson becoming Captain America. You have to have a Jane Porter becoming Thor. You have to have things like that.
Right. It's not saying almost, Steve Rogers is gone.
Yeah.
Gone. It's...
Right. Well, here's... with Sam Wilson becoming Captain America. Like, back in the 70s, I don't know how many people will remember this, but we know Steve Rogers has his love-hate relationship with the government anyway, and the Captain America title is actually owned by the government. It wasn't like he decided, I'm going to be Captain America.
Right.
And so there was a time back in the 70s where he's like, I'm over this, I'm done, and then he asked Sam to step in and be Captain America for him for a time. So, and I mean, in my time alone, I can think of, what, maybe 3 or 4 different Captain Americas. Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know.
The most recent, I think, being John Walker.
Yeah.
He was the super patriot to begin with. Then
right.
He became Captain America, but he was a little too loco with the face.
Was he more recent than Bucky Barnes?
Yeah, he was. He was back in, was it the late 80s? And 90s.
Yeah, late 80s. Early 90s, and he became Captain America because basically, Steve had, all that stuff stripped away from him.
Right.
Mainly because the Red Skull had, like, pulled strings and got his finances investigated, that sort of thing. And then they say, okay, well, here, John Walker, you have the name Captain America, you have the suit, you have the shield. And so then you have Steve coming up with a new Captain America type suit. Mm-hmm. This black suit with red and white stripes, and it basically it looked like a black version of the Captain America outfit.
Yeah.
Well, once Steve took the title back, then Walker took the black Captain outfit and became the U.S. agent.
Yeah, and out of that story, you ended up with a new character, a new character, and actually there was another one that was partnered with him that was sort of like a new Bucky.
Battlestar. That was him, yes.
Yeah, Battlestar, and I don't know what happened with Battlestar after that.
I don't know.
But yeah, he they were doing, and that was right about the time that I started reading Captain America, because I kind of was one of those people that was in and out, and to see a new Captain America, that kind of brought me in, because I was curious to see where they were going to take this story, you know?
Right.
So,
right. Now, to touch on the variant cover issue, some of them, yeah, they're not worth more than the suggested retail price on the cover. But there's some out there just because of the limited number that were released. Yeah, we're talking like Star Wars, 69 different variant covers. Comic book shops had the opportunity to have their own made up. So the store could have its own variant cover if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? But you can't count Star Wars as part of all this. Star Wars is its own separate event.
Right. But I'm touching on the variant covers, though. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that was mass heavy. Right. But there are some that are worth more that I would say. I mean, the Scotty Youngs, there's so many of them. They're not necessarily worth more. The John Tyler Christopher party cover with Jackson on the outside. You better believe that one's going to, just because of the nature of Jackson on the front,
yeah,
it's going to be more valuable than the action figure cover. Now, the movie covers with the movie scene on it, whatever. But there are some. I mean, when you have an artist who rarely ever does a cover, doing a cover, yeah, that one's going to be worth the price as well.
Right.
I think as much as I'm digging the action figure covers, I don't know if I'm if I could say that they're overkilling it yet.
For the Star Wars part, though, I think that was just a gimmick. Well,
they're still running with it.
Well, I know they're still running with it, but still, it's a gimmick harkening back to when people, you know, our age were kids, and it's like, oh my God, there are new action figures out in the stores at Kmart and Walmart and so forth. You got excited about that. It's playing on that nostalgia.
Yeah.
So if you saw I really had this wonderful. I still have my Chewbacca from the very first Star Wars line.
Bit my Wookiee.
Then I would probably go out and get that variant cover.
Exactly.
I think it's a lot play on nostalgia and also the fact that Star Wars is coming back to Marvel after so many years.
Well, I will admit, I have been collecting the action figure variant covers.
I know you got this one, though.
Yeah. Issue one, I think, what do we say? I got like four of the variant covers.
Yeah.
I've got the actual issue. I got the Scotty Young. I got the Jackson Party. I got the action figure. And I got the one that you just held up, Eric. So yeah, I got four. I got five issues of issue one, or five copies of issue one.
And to be fair, you didn't purchase that one.
No, my mother-in-law picked that one up for me.
And see, that for those of you who can't see what I just held up, which was basically everybody other than Kylan and Mike,
right.
It was the variant cover that
was that Second
my
Street
stack of comics just fell into the floor.
It's the
Variant for Books a Million. It's the sketch of Darth Vader walking down the steps.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Actually, no. I have six copies of that title because I also had the Amanda Conner black and white Vader Leia cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So we're ruining our own argument there, but. Variant covers. You remember several years ago when they went through? It's like everything had to have a cover enhancement.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the X-Books were really bad about that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, you have this embossed cover, or you have a metal printing, metal ink printing on part of this embossed cover. My personal favorite was Lobo. He says, I got your cover enhancement right here. And he points down to his zipper, and his zipper was embossed and had the metallic prints. So, yeah. It's to me, it's kind of like, it'll go away.
Yeah. Well, Disney Kingdoms, I've been getting with Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, I got the regular issue and the piece together, or the connecting issues where it makes the one large image.
See.
Because I have Brian Crosby. But it's the variant covers. If there's a specific artist and they're doing a variant cover, then support that artist and get the cover. Nothing says you have to go out and get all the variant covers unless you're just anal about it.
You're a compulsive completist. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like you would be with trading cards.
Right.
Don't bring the trading card mentality to the comic book world. Pick and choose the variants you want. So
do not do it. This is not an investment.
No.
No.
No. And that's one thing that killed the company I worked for during the glut during the early 90s is, people were buying them for collector value and that was it. Yeah. So everybody said, well, we're going to create our own comic book company and we're going to put out this stuff and we're going to do this. We're going to do that. This is going to be fuku investment. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
So I know I had a story I was going to do. I'm going to save that for the second half of the show because of time. So let's go ahead and jump to the other movie news. Actually, no. Let's go to TV first.
TV first. Get it.
Kylan's got something about Jessica Jones.
Yes. We had a story that was on comicbook.com about what we know so far about Jessica Jones, which will be premiering on Netflix in later this year.
Now
it says next year. Yeah, it says 2016. So, which we have I think we said in the last issue, we definitely have a name change now. A title change is now just Jessica Jones, Marvel's Jessica Jones. And what we have now is that we know for a fact that it is part of the Defender series that is going to comprise of Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones. It's the second series of that. It's going to feature Luke Cage, which we know that for sure. We've seen stills of that. They're filming in New York, which is pretty obvious, I think.
Right.
Now, back when Marvel first started their Max series, their Max line, Jessica Jones was introduced there, actually, from a series called Alias. And I have this entire run of this series. I loved it. Loved it. Very well written. It was Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Gatos. This is what introduced Jessica to the Marvel Universe, but it was a bit of a retcon also because it made her a member of the Avengers way back when. There is no AKA, which we mentioned before, and there is a brief synopsis of the show that she is working as a private investigator in New York's Hell's Kitchen. She is an ex-superhero, and somebody from her past comes back to haunt her. David Tennant, who plays the Purple Man, who is probably one of my favorite bad guys for this group of street level heroes. He plays Kilgrave, who has the ability to get in people's heads, and he is responsible for Jessica's trauma. Christian Ritter is in the show, and she is playing the lead, Jessica Jones.
Okay.
And Mike Coulter has been cast as Luke Cage, and so he will. We will see him. He will be introduced there, and we will see him later in his series, of course. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him in the second season of Daredevil, to be honest with you. And also, they're bringing in Rachel Tyler to play Patsy Walker, who is also known as Hellcat, who is another. I consider her more of a street level hero. She was a Defender back in the 70s, early 80s. She's an ex model and child star who is now a radio host and Jessica's best friend. And so that's pretty much that we have right now. Carrie Ann Moss has been cast in the show as well. Okay. And so that's pretty much all we have.
Cool.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
I don't have it. Do you have it, Eric?
I might. Depending on if he thinks it's worthy of attention. A little something about a rumor coming from MCUExchange.com that the Black Panther movie may have its director. A lady by the name of Ava DuVernay, or I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name. She could come on the show and correct us, as is just about everybody. She is the director of Selma, and she may have been hired by Marvel Studios to direct the upcoming Black Panther film. Now, this was first carried over in the wrap back in May that she was being courted by Marvel Studios for one of their quote-unquote diverse properties, and Bleeding Cool later said that it was indeed Black Panther. Then last month, the folks at We Are Wakanda reported that she was in talks with Marvel for Black Panther, and that indeed the gig was hers if she wanted it. So, according to the MCU Exchange's source, they do not identify the source, but they do say that they are sticking to the source. They are standing by the source. He has agreed to do this, and this is going to be interesting because, Black Panther is not due to release until July 6th of 2018. The main thrust of this would be to have her on the set of Captain America: Civil War. And this is where you first get a glimpse of Black Panther and Wakanda and all things regarding that. Now, there are some hints at a possible Wakanda scene filmed in Civil War because there is a casting call sheet that that was calling for African-Americans to serve as laboratory science extras. So it could very easily be. This would be great because you would have, for the first time, a non-white, non-male director.
Yes.
This is the way MCU Exchange phrased it. I think it's great because, yes, I'm going to sound politically correct here, and y'all know that's not me, but I think it's a nice touch to have a African-American director for the Black Panther movie, if this is true. And that's it. First of all, that will silence some of the critics who say that Marvel's not being diverse enough.
Right.
Right.
Second of all, it just seems right. It feels right.
I think that the fact that they decided to go with someone whose background seems to be more dramatic, it's an interesting move because action will take care of itself. The character of Black Panther, well, you know, he's the king of Wakanda.
Yes.
He's one of Marvel. He's one of the most intelligent characters in the Marvel universe.
Oh yes,
and I think it'll be interesting to see how a dramatic director will play that out on the big screen.
Right.
Well, you already have a hint of what could happen because you had Kenneth Branagh directing the first Thor.
Yes, yes, that's true.
If you've ever seen him in a Shakespearean role, the man is just several shades of awesome. Yep. I saw him in Othello, where he played Iago, and it was like, oh my goodness.
He played, is this on video anywhere? I would love to see this.
You may find it on Netflix or Hulu or somewhere.
Okay, cool.
But he was in it. Branna was Iago, and who was Othello? Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, Lawrence, yeah. Fishburne.
Oh, so you've seen that one?
No, I remember hearing about it, and when you mentioned Kenneth Branagh was Iago, I'm like, why? And I for some reason Lawrence Fishburne was in my head, but yes. Then you confirmed it. So yes.
That was a very good version of Othello too. I'm just saying. So you've got that as it, action will come.
Yes.
Action will come, but you get the casting right. I like the idea of Chadwick Boseman to play the title role.
Yes, I do too.
Which that's been out there for a while. But yeah, I mean this. If this is true, if this is accurate, I think this is a slam dunk, grand slam for Marvel.
And right. you just put me in the mood to go pull out my Black Panther graphics, and I'm on vacation next week, so I think I'm gonna get some trade paperback reading again.
Yeah.
So, one last bit of movie news. Spider-Man has been cast. Marvel, Sony finally agreed upon the, I guess, near impossible. And Marvel announced that not only did they find a director as well for the next Spider-Man film, which I thought that was going to be Sony's responsibility with the way things were talking when the arrangement was first agreed upon, but they also found their new Peter Parker. Peter's going to be played by Tom Holland, and John Watts will be the director of the film. And of course, you might know him from Cop Car.
Okay, so who had their money on Asa Butterfield?
Not me.
Okay, good.
I didn't have my money on half of the people. Actually, I had no money down on any of this.
You are a wise individual.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't sure if they were going to somehow. I wasn't sure which way they were going to go with it. I'm surprised that they even came up with a decision this quickly.
Yeah. Well, try and remember who. Who is it? Pascal? Oh, what's
Amy Pascal?
Is that who it is?
I think that's who it is.
Yes.
With Sony.
Yeah. She seemed pleased with the casting choice. Her quote is, "Sony, Marvel, Kevin, and I all knew that for Peter Parker, we had to find a vibrant, talented young actor capable of embodying one of the well-known characters in the world. With Tom, we found the perfect actor to bring Spider-Man's story into the Marvel Cinematic Universe."
And he looks like he's barely old enough to shave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is a good choice.
I know when we looked him up at work when the announcement broke on Tuesday, most of the stuff he's done is all British TV stuff. There really wasn't anything super, super well-known from him.
Pun intended.
So I think that's a great choice as well. Let's see. I'm looking at his filmography right now. He's in the upcoming Wolf Hall. That'll come out TV series. How I Live Now. Locke. The Impossible. The Secret World of Arity. And that's all that's showing. And then upcoming, it's going to be in Civil War. The Spider-Man reboot. Coming out later this year. Backcountry. Pilgrimage. And In the Heart of the Sea. So, relatively newcomer. But hey, I think that works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And apparently, he's got some moves where he can... there's some Instagram things, videos off his Instagram where he's doing like Spider-Man type flips and stunts and stuff like that. Looks to be in his backyard. I also heard, though, about this where he apparently did like, you know, auditions with Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think, is a good thing as well, which I guess is it only makes sense if he's supposed to have a cameo in Civil War. Then, yeah, it makes sense that they announce it now. And that he would be doing auditions alongside those two.
Yeah, yeah. But there was other Spider-Man news to be had. You got that one, Kylan?
Yep. A few months now, and Marvel made it official that Miles Morales will be the Spider-Man coming out of Civil War. And he is...
Civil War or Secret Wars?
Secret Wars. Secret Wars. Thank you. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so coming out of Secret Wars, Miles Morales will be Spider-Man for... Those of us who may not be familiar, he was Spider-Man in the Ultimate Universe. And so with the Ultimate and the 616 universe coming together, that's who we will have. And Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli will launch Spider-Man as a new monthly title following the events of Secret Wars. And Bendis said many kids of color who, when they were playing superheroes with their friends wouldn't let them be Batman or Superman because they didn't look like those heroes. But they could be Spider-Man, anyone can ask. This is what Bendis said in an interview with Daily News. But now it's true. It's meant a great deal to a great many people. And he went on to say, our message has to be, it's not Spider-Man with an ass, it's the real Spider-Man. Our kids are for kids of color, the adults of color, and everybody else. So this is a big move. And I don't know what, you know, I this will mean. My understanding is Peter Parker is still in the universe, but he is no longer acting. He is no longer wearing the mantle of Spider-Man.
This sounds a lot like what they've done with Captain America and Sam Wilson becoming Captain America while Steve Rogers mentors him from the sideline.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which in and of itself has quite the Batman Beyond feel to it.
It does. It does. It says, let's see, it says, it seems a foregone conclusion that Peter Parker will continue in Amazing Spider-Man, the franchise's main title, given that the all-new, all-different Marvel posters feature both Peter, or someone in his costume at least, and Miles. So we are going to see two Spider-Men, but the Spider-Man, no asterisk, is Miles.
Okay.
You know what I see out of this? You see two people operating under the same thing.
Yes.
Now, the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man looks different than the Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Right.
So what if you had regular team-ups with the two?
You know, I think it would make sense. I mean, like you say, you know, we have a mentoring situation. It'd be no different than...
A Batman and Robin.
Yeah, it would be no different
than... Or Captain America and Bucky.
It would make for some interesting writing when you're dealing with a villain, and he... Yeah. I don't know, is he Spider 1, Spider 2, and they try to figure out which one's which, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a win-win situation for Marvel.
I think so. I like the fact that they are they're purposefully, you know, saying this is about diversity, which I don't think is a bad thing.
No.
I think that for them to, you know, fully embrace and address the issue being what it is, that it says a lot for Marvel, especially coming out of something as big as Secret Wars, that this is more than just a costume change. This is more than just, you know, something that they can write themselves out of 6 months later. This is, you know, this is an established character. I mean, Miles has been around for, what, 4 or 5 years now?
Something but like this that, is yeah. still something that they can write themselves out of
but
down the road. I mean, just
true.
Like it is with Thor and just like it is with Captain America. And
that's
I don't
true.
Know
know
that at some point I wouldn't want to see Miles basically come into his own
right.
And be like, you know, be like what they did with the Scarlet Spider or something like that, to where, yes, he's a Spider-Man themed hero. He's got the similar powers. He's got the similar abilities, but he comes out from under Parker's shadow and makes him, you know, establishes his own spider identity.
To hate putting a DC analogy into this, a Robin into Nightwing, or
yes,
Speedy into Red Arrow,
it makes for great writing. It's for development. To, like you said, to see him, you know, this is a launch point for him, and to grow from that. And I think, you know, I'm sure they probably have a plan in mind already, but I'm excited about this, and I'm curious to see where it goes from there, and also what it means for the MCU.
Right.
You know, I'm curious about that also. But
because once you have Peter Parker established as a Spider-Man in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, you can kill him.
Yeah.
You could kill him and bring in Miles.
There's no tea they
can. I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't a thought.
I would hate that, because I like Tom Holland as a Peter Parker. I think he would make a good Peter Parker. So yeah. I would not really... I would hate to see what happened to Andrew Garfield happen to him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, while we have a quick moment before we hit the part everyone loves, I don't know how I missed this back in April, but SMS Audio, which is the headphone company owned by 50 Cent, by Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, they announced...
We just call them half a dollar.
2 bits.
Yeah, there you go.
SMS Audio announced a partnership with Marvel. Now, they've already released a second series of Star Wars headphones. I sent Kylan and Eric a link to the to pictures of these headphones. But the SMS collection will consist of 4 models branded after popular characters, and will be available for pre-order this month, June 2015, with full purchase availability on smsaudio.com in July and at participating retailers. One of the best lines I saw? Now, SMS Audio is the official headphone for Walt Disney World, and I believe for Disneyland as well. So the only headphones you're going to see available to buy now, I guess more in the adult world, will be SMS Audio, especially the Star Wars, now the Marvel. Star Wars headphones run about $199.99. These are going to be coming in at $99.99. So about $100 less. According to this press release, blending various elements from existing SMS Audio Sport and license collections, the new Marvel on-ear wired headphone will be the IPX4 rated for resistance to sweat and water, along with perforated ear pads, in addition to 3D embellishments, texturized branding on the ear caps, to depict the representative Marvel character on the on-ear headphones, will have folding hinges, removable cord with microphone, and a carry case.
Wow.
I am digging the Captain America design.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I still don't know that I could justify spending a Ben Franklin for a set of these, but I mean, I love the design. I like all three.
Right.
That's in the link that you sent us.
Right.
It would be really cool if the Iron Man ones, the ear cap, the arc reactor
glowed.
Black Widow one is nice, but Cap one is still my favorite out of those three.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You know what? I'm leaning towards Cap myself. Although the Black Widow one is a very clicket. Although I'm curious to see what other characters will come out.
Yeah,
I will like more characters. This is just an initial offering here.
Yeah. Well, I know what the Star Wars, the initial offering was. There was a white pair that was like Stormtrooper. There was a Boba Fett pair that had the Mandalorian, his symbol, that little 7 type symbol on the cap. There was a Rebel logo. And then there was a Vader set that was, I think, black with the Imperial cog on it as well. The second offering is Darth Vader itself. The chest plate, Chewbacca, R2-D2, and one other, which I don't remember right offhand. And I actually got the chance to hear a pair at Star Wars Weekends, and they sound amazing. amazing. They really do. So,
really but nice.
On that note, it is that time again. And that is for new comic book day picks for July 1st. That's right, 7/1/15. And so we're bringing you 9 picks this week instead of 8 like we did last week because 2 people had the same idea.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately,
what can we say? Great 3. Minds think alike.
Exactly.
And I was the one left out. So I guess we'll start with Eric. First pick of the week.
Okay, my first pick of the week is a number 1. It is the Red Skull, number 1. One of the most vile villains of the Marvel Universe gets his very own Twisted Secret Wars series. Red Skull should be dead, but his legend grows. So a team of villains that include Winter Soldier, Magneto, and Lady Deathstrike are sent on a dangerous odyssey to the Deadlands to prove it. But no one ever comes back alive from the Deadlands. Forced to overcome zombies, Ultron drones, and the Annihilation Wave, the ragtag team of villains will find that they have bitten off more than they can chew.
Okay.
Nice.
What about you, Kyla?
I have, and this in the pull, in our pull list, A-Force number 2. Writer is G. Willow Wilson. Penciler is hoping I got that right. With monsters appearing on the utopian island of Arcadia and threatening its inhabitants, She-Hulk and her team of Avengers set out to discover the source. But when they stumble upon a conspiracy that reaches far beyond Arcadia, She-Hulk may just find herself on the wrong side of the law. Yeah, so this is definitely going to be in the house next week.
She-Hulk has always been an interesting character.
Yeah.
Especially when her solo titles were not 100% taken seriously.
Yeah, that second series was so much fun, and my wife actually has that entire run, and and I think because she graduated from law school, I think She-Hulk holds a special place in her heart. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, my first pick of the week is. Oh wait. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
My first pick of the week is Ultimate End, number 3, written by Brian Michael Bendis. The interns really went to town on this one. So prepare for the next 10 minutes. The battle you thought you would never see, the mashup of the Ultimate Universe and the Marvel Universe, reaches its tipping point. Oh, wait, that's it.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Wow, that intern really earned that college credit that day.
I'll tell you, main reason why I haven't read the other 2 issues, but the cover to this one just really had me intrigued. It's just an awesome looking cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice and simple. That's what drew me to it for this week is the cover. So,
yeah.
So number 2 picks.
My number 2 pick is a number 2. It is Groot number 2, written by Jeff Loveness, penciler Brian Kessinger, and cover artist Declan Shalvey. Stranded and without anyone who can understand what's coming out of his mouth, it's Groot versus the cosmos in a trek to get his best friend back. Featuring a special guest star who's really out of this world, quote unquote, Groot may look intimidating, but trust us, he's all bark.
Kylan, what do you got for us for your number 2?
Number 2 is Years of Future Past, number 3. And I think I'm in a similar situation that you were in because I don't have a writer or an artist, but gouged up from its sanctuary, the mutant's last defender clashes with the Sentinels above York City. Katie Pryde and her family take refuge in a Coney Island madhouse and find dark revelations at last. And actually, I picked this one because, well, I'm more out of curiosity than anything because I love the Days of Future Past story, and I didn't even know that this was even out there. And the cover has what looks like a large version of Kitty's pet. I really
Lockheed.
Can't remember. Yeah, Lockheed. Like, there's a large version of Lockheed that's just burning the heck out of a Sentinel.
Well, that would make sense if Lockheed is the last defender of mutants.
Yeah. That's it's. So I have to admit, I would have to go back and find one and two to see where this story even starts. It looks, I'm intrigued by it. Actually, I am.
Okay, think about this though. Now that you have Marvel under Disney's umbrella,
right?
You ever notice how much Lockheed kind of looks like Figment?
Oh, he's my favorite. Two tiny wings. I speak in yellow.
Now I want to see even just one panel's worth of a meeting between the two of them. It'd be like the Star Trek X-Men crossover where Beast and Bones are in the medical bay and Nurse Chapel walks in, Dr. McCoy! And they both turn around. Yes?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Marvel, if you're listening, Disney, if you're listening, hook a brother up.
You got
give me
time.
That one meeting between Lockheed and Figment. That's all I ask.
Even if it's in passing.
With
Shamira looking in the background going, what? You know, sort of like Roseanne what was the young one? What was the brother? What was his name?
DJ.
When DJ looks all I can think is, looks at Becky and goes, it's the same Becky, but it's not the same Becky. It's the same Becky, but not the same Becky.
Yes.
I want that type of look.
Yeah.
Yes.
So my number two pick is Squadron Sinister number two. I went with this because it's got one of my favorite groups in it. It's the Squadron Sinister versus the Frightful Four to control over the combat domain of Battle World. Which group of villains will be the ones to take out the Howling Commandos? The Leatherneck Raiders and the Deadly Dozen. And what's up with that Star Brand army?
Star Brand?
Oh, you got my attention now.
Wait. Do you mean Star Brand?
As in New Universe Star Brand.
Okay, that's how, I just want to make sure I'm hearing right.
Yes.
That was
Quasar brought the Star Brand from the New Universe into the 616 universe.
This is why I want to pick up this book.
I just a quick question here, and I want just let me know that whether I'm thinking crazy or would you?
You're thinking crazy.
Wasn't Star Brand almost like Marvel's version of the Green Lantern Corps? If you think about it,
it wasn't too far off. I viewed it as a slightly less comical version of the Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
See, I thought of Nova Corps as more of like Green Lantern Corps without the rings.
Okay, yeah.
That was me though, but
I not too long ago I went back and read that because I think there was a trade that had the entire series in there, and I love that. Man, nice.
But yeah, so, Star Brand. I remember reading Star Brand when it first started off, and it was. I enjoyed it.
It's good to see that Star Brand is still around. Was that probably the only thing that survived from the new universe?
Antibody. Also survived because one of little Antibody's little clones jumped into the space that was in Quasar's cape and stowed away.
Oh, okay.
So I remember that happening.
Huh.
That's a long story back. Basically, what had happened was the Living Laser had like escaped into another dimension with by basically jumping into the Watcher's mirror.
Okay.
And so Quasar had to go and get him. And when they were his hopping through dimensions, and they came into one dimension where Korvac was about to fire off the ultimate nullifier and like eradicate everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He barely got into the mirror before it blew up, and the explosion kind of threw him into the new universe.
Oh,
so what he had to do was, his energy started running out from the quantum bands.
Right.
So he tracked down. He found out about Starbrand. He tracked the guy down and talked to him for like 3 days straight almost. It says, okay, I'll give you the brand. And he, transfers the brand onto Quasar. And that's how he jumps back into the mainstream Marvel reality.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. So on to picks number three.
Okay. My pick number three is actually a number seven. It is Darth Vader number seven, written by Kerryon Gillen and penciled by Salvador LaRocca. The Emperor's machinations revealed. Everything changes for Vader The tale of Vader's transformation from A New Hope to The Empire Strikes Back continues. And like you guys on earlier picks, it was the cover kind of that got it for me, because you see on the cover the Lars homestead where Luke's parents, Luke's aunt and uncle got turned into charcoal briquettes. And there is just a long shadow that's cast upon the house there, and it's Vader's shadow. Mm. So that, I just said, ooh, I like that cover. I'm going to pick it.
You may dispense with the pleasantries, Commander.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, this book is also on my pull list as well. I mean, Princess Leia just wrapped. The only reason why I didn't have it on my picks for this week is because you beat me to it. And I've lost track of score of who's gotten to what book first. But, you know, between Star Wars, between Kanan, between Vader, now, like I said, Leia wrapped. I'm picking up Lando, which is a five issue arc. If it's a Star Wars title, I'm taking advantage of it now with Marvel that that I didn't get to originally with Dark Horse. And I'm slowly trying to go back and get the 100 and something of the original Marvel, which is going to just take time, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But Marvel 2.0, or Marvel Star Wars 2.0, I'm taking advantage and I'm getting every single issue.
See, that's what I want to do too, because I collected the original Star Wars.
Right. And I don't care what the resale value is going to be later down the road.
No.
This is for personal sake.
Yes.
Right.
So, and these are ones I want the tangible book. To use my audio analogy, I want the analog, not the because with the analog, you get the code for digital. And I can leave my analog at home and take my digital anywhere in the world with me and not worry about ragtagging pages that I'm already going to ragtag reading.
It's kind of like what Watto said in episode one. They don't work out there. I need something real.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm picking up a lot of times the variant covers for some of these. It's so I can actually keep the books and keep the variant cover books in decent shape, and I could ragtag the other. But actually, all my issues are pretty intact because I've been opening them up just long enough to get the digital code.
Right.
And I'm reading them digitally. So.
Right.
So your third pick, Kylan?
My third pick is Master of Kung Fu number 3. Writer is
pick that one.
You know me. Writer is Hayden Blackman. The penciler is Delibor Telagic, and the cover artist is Francesco Francavile. Battle for control of Kunlun has begun. The 13 chambers have opened, and all Kunlun schools gather to determine who is the master of Kung Fu. As master to the lowest caste, Shang-Chi attempts to enter the tournament in order to topple the despotic Jing Zhu. Will Shang-Chi, a wanted murderer, be able to elude his enemies long enough to face his father? See, you know what? And I love Shang-Chi, but you got Shang-Chi and Kung Lun. You know what? It's easy. I'm done. I'm done. I'm like, you know what? If there was any world in the Marvel universe that I could go to and live out the rest of my days, it would be Kung Lun. And the thought of Shang-Chi there is awesome. I'm loving the cover. The cover almost has, like, I don't know, almost in a weird way reminds me of a movie poster from one of those old Kung Fu theater movies from the 70s and early 80s.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You know, and so it kind of hails back to that for me. And I love the character anyway. So, yeah, and I picked up number one of this series. So I'm there.
What was that? What was that Kung Fu movie that El DeBarge did the soundtrack for?
Oh, The Last Dragon.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, that is this is like the second or third reference to that movie in about 3 days for me. Yes. The Last Dragon. I need to watch that movie. Thank you.
Here's your sign.
Yes.
Well, my third pick, if you saw the options we had for this week, I'm sure everyone, you know, I would say pause, go to Marvel.com, go to comics, hit the on sale tab, and you tell me what you're going to look and go, that's Mike's pick. And if you, so like I said, hit pause, go look that up, count to five, and rejoin me right now. And you're going to get, hopefully, the unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 7 is my third pick of the week. How can you not? I've been consistent. I'm probably going to stay consistent. So this almost turned into a drinking game. Oh, unbeatable Squirrel Girl shot. So that's after you go drinking around the world at Epcot.
You're about to sell me on this book. I want you to know that. I like the character already. So
yeah, it's a great story. Our friend Squirrel Girl doesn't like our new friend Girl Squirrel. Dr. Seuss episode issue, apparently. In this issue, we discover if this dislike is potentially justified. Also, if you don't care whether or not these two people like each other, perhaps me telling you that the world has gone mad and Squirrel Girl has to fight the Avengers in this issue. Will that attract your attention? It did? Well, guess what? She also fights Radiskur, the Norse god of squirrels.
The Norse god of squirrels.
Also, old guy Thor is in this issue, as is new lady Thor. We don't have frog Thor, though that seems like an oversight, actually.
Beta Ray Bill?
No, it doesn't say anything about Beta Ray Bill, but do you see why I keep picking this?
Yeah.
You have Squirrel Girl, Howard the Duck. Oh, come on. That's a mashup that needs to happen.
Oh my gosh. There really is a Norse god of squirrels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marvel's done their research. Kudos to you guys. So that has it. That's our 9 picks for this week. Again, you could catch them on the podcast side of things.
His name means, in Old Norse, generally considered to mean drill tooth or boar tooth. That's going to keep me going all week. I'm sorry. I derailed your outro, but still.
No.
Mike, if I have weird dreams tonight, it's all your fault. I'm telling you right now, it's all your fault.
Well, apparently, this issue is titled Real Tooth or Boar Tooth.
Yes.
Yes.
So it has named itself. So that is it for this week. You can catch Eric on Twitter at Uncle Servo, Kylan at Bluesman1103, myself at Marvel Geeks. Check out our affiliates on the Weeby Geeks page for the podcast side of things. Check out Sorcerer Radio and their affiliates as well. Help support both networks. That way we can keep bringing quality entertainment like this to you. Well, okay.
Maybe the Norse god of squirrels? Maybe. Yeah, I mean, how could not?
Maybe I'm using the term quality or the word quality loosely tonight, but
so we can keep bringing a bunch of people. It's okay.
I just want to turn to NBC and go, knowledge is power. Or
knowing is half the battle.
And we can say that since G.I. Joe started off as a Marvel comic.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
So,
yo.
On that note, Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope. Time to go nuts and go dark.
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.